Welcome to Butterflies of Wisdom, everyone. And today we happen to have a guest from Sweden, of all places. And he just told me before we got on the call that it's midnight there. And we have Morten. So what I'm going to do is ask him the baseline questions. And then if he needs help translating, which I don't think he does, I will translate for you guys. So you might hear me speaking a lot during this interview, just so you guys get the American translation. But take it away, Morten.
Thank you much. Nice to be here.
And for those who don't know, what do you
say on my podcast, Ego Netcast, with an interview with John Ferrara? And I had, I think it was a couple of hundred downloads there. And then you congratulate me and we connected, and then we planned this podcast interview. So thanks
so you,
for having me here.
You are a full-time podcaster.
No, I'm not full-time podcaster, but
I was going to say, I've been
podcasting since 2006.
I was going to say, if you're a full-time podcaster, good for you, but you've been podcasting since 2006. Now, my next question is, how do you think podcasting has changed since you started and up until now?
In a way, it's easier to start. You don't have to have a technical background.
Yes.
like we are doing now. I mean, yes. Zoom is a technical app, but it's pretty simple to use it.
Back yes,
in the day,
is.
You had to have your own studio and all kind of technical equipment.
It definitely is. And so, what is your favorite book? It doesn't have to be business related. It just has to be a book that you love and the pages are torn and it's highlighted. Or it could be an audio book for that matter.
Yes. And it's also in an audio book version. And that's coming to my podcast, Ego Netcast. I have a segment that I call the Trader Principle, and I've discussed with the guest about that. And that principle is created by Miss Rand. So my favorite book is Atlas Shrugged by Miss Rand.
So your favorite book is Atlas Shrugged by Miss Rand, and
Atlas Shrugged.
Have talked about it on your podcast, probably in depth. And how is your podcast working? Is it you talk about business and then you talk about the book, or is it a solo show, or is it a interview show?
Yeah, it's both. This has been both a struggle and a journey, and that's why I'm so happy when you reached out and congratulate me to the milestone. So I'm doing interview shows that I've done back and forth, and then I also have solo shows when I'm talking about like business philosophy, new media, social media, and the good life, including tea. That's one of my passions.
Oh God, tea, as in teacup.
Yeah,
tea. So, explain to us, because I know Americans consume podcasts mobily. Explain to us what the international difference is in consuming a podcast as in Sweden as it is in America, because I have Swedish friends and they don't know what the heck I'm talking about when I say I host a podcast.
Okay. I should generalize a bit then, but as you said, they consume in North America often by commuting. In cars and bus and trams and travels, but also out walking the dog or the cat or doing the dishes or something like that. The same thing is in Europe also. I'm living in a city here outside Gothenburg, Sweden, the second largest city in Gothenburg, in Sweden, I mean. And there we could go by train and, of course, car and bus and bicycle, etc. And often people, when doing that, they listen to a podcast during their transportation and commute. You know, here it's pretty connected society with broadband, Wi-Fi, and smartphones. Lots of people have a smartphone here. So back in the day, that's why it called podcast, like iPod, that you could listen to a podcast on a device called iPod, but also for an MP3 player.
Jeez.
And now it's so easy to use a smartphone. And that's why it's increased, I think, in popularity also. So, I mean, still it's early in a way, but it has a long history. It's over 10 years with podcasting, but it's catching on. So it's consumed in that way by phone mostly, I think.
I was going to say, you started this when podcasting wasn't even in iTunes.
I started, it was in iTunes, but it was around 2000, I think, 4 or something like that, or 5.
Yeah,
it started. I started 2006, and my first adventure there was by a guy in Australia, Prodos. He did all the technical things, and we used a landline or some other voice over IP, and then he recorded and so on. And then the next step in the journey, after he put his project on hold, you could say, I found Blog Talk Radio and used that service for some time. And then I also used SoundCloud and others, and Audio Boom in England. And then I found this hosting service called Libsyn.
Libsyn does a phenomenal, phenomenal job. SoundCloud, not so much.
No, it's more like a distribution channel. A distribution channel.
Yeah, and that's what I'm.
One question is what I'm doing, and I call myself a social media evangelist. So in February this year, I had a talk on podcasting, and my topic was to look in the so-called crystal ball and see the future. And then I mentioned like SoundCloud, because it could be like a community, but SoundCloud, the listener should understand, it's focused and it's pretty popular here in Sweden, because it started in Sweden and had a headquarters in Germany. And it's focused on the music listeners and on the bands. It has been discussion how the company is doing economically wise and so on. So I wouldn't put all my eggs in one place.
But
Libsyn will stay thrive and develop.
Yeah, Libsyn will stay. SoundCloud will go out to the masses, because I think that SoundCloud is more for the music end of it. It's not for the audio blogging end of it, like podcasts are.
Yeah, correct. And there maybe could be a tip for you, if you haven't got that already. I use an account or package there included in a standalone podcast or podcatcher app. So I have my own app for Ego Netcast.
And that's included in
the Libsyn service.
I need to get that app. You're the second person that said to me, when you need to get that app.
Yes.
So I need to bite the bullet and get that app.
Yeah, talk to Elsie or Rob. I know. Crystal.
Because
Bob or
Crystal.
Great. That's great.
because, as I said, people don't know how to consume podcasts. No.
But they know what an app is.
Exactly. They know what an app is, but podcast, clicking on a podcast, it's it's foreign language to them. They know what an app is, but it's clicking on a podcast is foreign language to them. So what has been your most successful interview of your podcast?
I think it's, every interview has its own charm and you learn it from a way. And that's what I also, as I said, open with this, struggle with also with technical things and quality, sound quality and others. But I think every interview is the best and it's getting better all the time. Then you congratulate me with John Ferrara of Nimble. This podcast has now been downloaded over 1,000 times. So if you look at the median average and so on Libsyn, that's a pretty good number. But I'm not a big shot in this and I'm doing my thing. I like to have a conversation as we are having now with the guest and focused on the guest and learn something from it. So, and then of course it's up to the listeners and readers of my blog what they think. But I think every interview has its own charm and aspect of it.
I definitely agree with you. Now, do you use your audio as a blog post component?
Yes, yes. I'm using Libsyn as a service, and that's also what I have been working with, struggling with, developing over time.
Yeah.
To find a workflow, and I see how you are doing where you have lots of scheduling interviews and so on, so that, and you have assistance and help and so
yes.
on.
Yes.
But after I have done it, and I did a sketch that I could send to you in my notebook with the flow. If I do a solo show, I record on Boss Jock, and then I don't do much editing either, so and then upload with Audiophonic and so on, and then to Libsyn, and then I do also show notes in a blog post.
Okay, so that's how you do it, because I was trying to explain to people this morning as I'm actually how to do show notes, and when I thought of having you on my podcast, I'm like, I'll ask him how he does it, because a lot of people do use Libsyn's site. And now, do you have a blog on your own site?
Yeah. So, I mean, Libsyn, and I have started a new podcast recently in Swedish with a guy called Johan Gustafsson. And we have a podcast, and this could be a bit hard for the listeners, but it's a joke in Gothenburgian accent here. So it's produktivitet. If you take the word productivity and then add the word T, so it's a made up word, and it's a bit hard to explain the funny thing with it, but in Swedish it's pretty funny. So it's productivity, like productivity and tea. And we drink a cup of tea, a different sort every time.
I love it.
We discuss to-dos and productivity. So
you sold me on that one. I love it. The tea and productivity. Yeah. Oh, God, I love it. I caught it as you were saying it. I'm like, two niches there.
Two niches together.
The end of the spectrum. I have actually never heard about a podcast solely about tea. You know, I typed in, and this is an interesting fact for my listeners too, I typed in disabled podcast this morning. Do you know there's only 4 disability podcasts in iTunes? Uh-huh. And that shocks me. So I'm thinking that a podcast about a cup of tea is very rare too.
Yeah, it is. It's niche.
It is. Okay.
So we discussed that what you talked about Libsyn, because that you get in the package Libsyn blog that you could put show notes. But then I have my own blog on Ego Netcast, because that's how I started with social media. I started blogging in 2002. So I'm used to writing blog posts. And then we could have a long discussion about how much should you do in your show notes, transcripts. Is the reader interested in this? What's about the search engines, etc. But you have this double material that you could. I mean, it had been rumors that you could be punished by Google if you have like Libsyn's show notes and then you do similar show notes and text on your own blog. But recently, I have heard, and Johan mentioned that, Johan Gustafsson, that you are not punished as long as it's not, I mean, intentionally to have several copies of the original text. So you could be safer.
That's what I was wondering. That's where my next question was going. Will the SEO of Google punish you if they see a tweak in your show notes your actual blog?
They will see it as good material. And I see you use a service called Weebly for your web page.
Yes.
And I'm using all kind of different. I haven't used Weebly yet, but I use Tumblr and others. And WordPress for this Ego Netcast, I'm using Squarespace. So I like that service.
And Squarespace good to podcasters?
They even have, and I have a package there that I also could have a web shop and others, and you could have your audio. They could create the RSS feed and so on. But I have decided to have it in a separate place. But I know people could have a podcast RSS feed on Squarespace, and you could. Of course, I embed the Libsyn player on my Squarespace.
Yes, I was going to. But you can do everything
in Squarespace if you want. But I have decided not to do that.
Really, I didn't realize that until you told me that, Morten. I didn't realize that.
It's some settings that you have to do, and.
Could make it thing. And I didn't, well, podcasters are here to stay, so I guess Squarespace is getting in the game. And why did you start podcasting?
That's a good question. And then the same thing with blogging. I started in 2002, and I was in America there, and read the news. And then I said, I want to have a place to ventilate things about philosophy, politics, and other things in life. So I start blogging, and same thing with podcasting. I want to spread better ideas when it comes to new media, business, philosophy, and the good life, including tea.
Including tea. Let's not forget the tea.
Cheers to that. Cheers.
Let's not forget the tea, So you want to spread the philosophies of how business is done in Sweden to America, basically.
Yeah, you do that globally.
And to an international audience. Let's not forget about America. I mean, I have fans in Sweden. I have fans in France. I have fans in Japan. I have fans.
Congratulations.
In Canada. And so, yeah. So basically, yeah. I have fans all over the place. So what we're trying to do is spread the philosophies of the business models of how we do things internationally. And me with a disability, I'm trying to spread it with the disabled viewpoint too. And so I'm noticing that Sweden, you guys slow down a lot more than Americans do. Is that something you're trying to implement in your podcast as well?
Could you repeat that question? What do you say?
I am noticing that in Sweden, you guys seem to take it easy and enjoy life and enjoy the tea and enjoy every single moment of life, whereas in America, we don't seem to do that. And so is that something you're trying along with business philosophies? Is that something you're trying to do as well in your podcast? How to enjoy life?
Yes, enjoy life, but I think it's Americans are very good if they know it. I studied and worked in America, and what I like with America, I have lots of issues with what's going on right now. I'm a fan of the founding fathers, so that's why I celebrate Boston Tea Party every year in December. On December 16th, because on December 16th, 1773, it was a great tea party there, and that's how it led up to the United States of America in the long run. So the American sense of life is great. The problem is that some Americans, or maybe many Americans, have forgotten about that. So, and in Sweden, we, and in Europe, we have a long history. And then we could discuss how much we enjoy life, that we could have a debate. I mean, for my podcast, I have mostly, I think, listeners in North America, and then I have in Sweden, of course. And not many of my friends here in Sweden, they are also American in spirit. So I don't feel myself as a Swede. I'm more like a global guy, and especially American in spirit. As the history,
isn't that interesting that you don't feel attached to your own heritage? You feel more attached to America because you were working over here. And were you doing social media over here, or what were you doing?
No, I was doing other things in a manufacturing company, but I had social media also working with that at the same time as a side project and as a hobby and as an interest. So,
And why didn't you get interested in podcasting when you were working over here? The day job didn't allow it?
Yeah, it did. So but as you see, it's hard to do it on during full time. So, and yeah. I started. I was 97 to 2000 in America, so I started podcasting after that. But I started blogging during that time. So that's the backstory there.
That's how
it's led up to what I'm doing. You asked, one of the questions was what I do. As I said, I call myself a social media evangelist, and I'm a blogger of several startups and online ventures, and I'm also a moderator for Biz Sugar Forum. And I met online person in video called Anita Campbell, and she is owner of Small Business Trends, and that's a site for small business owners, business-minded individuals, people who have their own business or interest in starting that, and so on. And they and she also owns a site called Biz Sugar. That's a forum. So, for example, Win, if you have written a blog post on your blog about, you could say, doing business or being an author or something like that.
Yes.
Then you could post a snippet or a summary on this post, creating an account, and people could vote for that. They could write comments, and then you get traffic back to your site. You could also, for example, read an article in The Economist or Financial Times or some other site, and do a summary there about something that's related to small business and business in general. And then people voting for that or comment and so on. And it's also like a community, so you get know to people and sharing.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
How cool is that? So SEO is driven from how many votes you get.
Yeah. So you, the user are voting there, and of course if you mention it on Twitter and other places and so on, you could get traffic for that, and it's a great place. So
it's wonderful.
That's how I got in contact with Anita, and I have interviewed her on my show also, and others linked to this online site.
Well, where can people find you, and where can people find your podcast, obviously?
Yeah, and if they want to get in contact with me, they could then search on my name, as you pronounce it in a good way, Martin Lindeskog, and they could go to martin.lindeskog.name, or go to ego, like the Latin word for I, netcast.com.
Netcast.com.
Yeah. And that now I will take a sip of tea here.
Go ahead.
I will do a fun thing here and say why is it called netcast, not podcast?
Yes.
In Swedish, in the Swedish language, it's called pod radio. If you have pod but with 2D, coming from podcast, or it's like a bean, you know, pod like a capsule. But back in the day, around 2004 and whatever, Leo Laporte, you probably know from Twit TV.
Yes.
He wrote an article about we should call it, instead of podcast, call it netcast. Because, and I am an Apple fanboy. I like Apple and Macintosh and iPhones and so on.
Yes.
But at that time, Apple said, podcast, we own the word iPod. So podcasters and so on, using that name, they were saying you should stop that. But it catched on anyway. So it's so now ingrained that you use podcast. But when I started my show, Ego Netcast, I wanted to have this like an homage to Leo Laporte and that discussion, but Rob Walsh on Libsyn, he's a great guy, so he said, I mean, that name netcast, that's old, and I agree with that, because podcast is the word that's the valid one, but I have it as like a fun story now.
Wasn't that brought up 2 weeks ago? Didn't someone write an article somewhere, I believe in Forbes, for the what podcast meant?
Yeah, probably. And yes. That would be interesting to hear. But it's with two words, and I am interested in words and concepts and so on. So it's taking this pod from iPod and others, and the pet capsule. And something that a listening device, and then but you could listen different ways also, I mean, on a MP3 player, a smartphone, but also online on the net. So that's why I use that, and cast is a part of a broadcast. But the funny thing, broadcast is that you're spreading, that's coming from the literature and the history about the farmer, that broadcast, somebody that want to share the crops and have seed. So
seed.
Yes.
Share the seeds.
Yeah, the cost.
Share the seeds of knowledge.
In a broad way. So it's funny, maybe podcast is both, but we are trying to do it in a broad way. But we are different than mainstream and old media. We are doing it in a narrow way. And as Rob and others doing, podcasting is, I'm doing it for myself, and of course you're doing it that the listeners want to listen to it in their own way. So that's why your standalone app is great, because if I don't know what a podcast is, a podcatcher, whatever, they know what an app is, and then they can listen as they want, or if they want to listen on my blog, with and reading the show notes at the same time, it's up to the listener. So maybe this cast thing should be something called something else, but in a way it's all already, this debate or battle is already over. It's called podcast. That is in Swedish, it's called pod radio, but it's
pod radio.
But that's official in the language book. But in Swedish, when you say it, you say podcast anyway. And you said pod or podden in Swedish. So it's very similar to the English. So.
Well, isn't that interesting? I was going to get a history lesson on podcasting, but to each their own. I mean, I didn't realize I was going to get my own history lesson from on podcasting.
Yeah, but it's a bit meta. It's a bit
fascinating me.
It's funny. If you want to, explain it to your friends and so on, you could say it's like radio on demand. Instead of you have to, listen to when it's aired. Of course, it's a nice thing to listen online live, and you could have that also. And that we'll see what the developer will be with services like live streaming and so on. But one of the advantages with podcasting is that you could listen whenever you want.
Now, I know that Spreaker has a live streaming component.
Oh, that's interesting.
Do you ever think that Libsyn would get to that point?
We could ask them to do that.
We could hint, hint. Yes.
If I see any business model in that. That's why I like Blog Talk Radio, but it was debated during the years, the quality and the sound quality.
Yes,
but
I
think they have developed it nowadays. Now I'm stuck with Libsyn because I'm vested in this and the standalone app. So I will stick with Libsyn. Spreaker, I have an account like a listener, but I don't want to so-called spread too thin either. But always because I'm a social media evangelist, I have to explore all the different options. That's why I use SoundCloud like a distribution channel. Also.
Yeah, exactly.
If it will come a live thing, like more like radio, that could be interesting. But again, one of the benefits is that you listen when you want. But if you have more information about that or some business cases or fellow podcasters using Spreaker, that of course would be interesting to hear about.
I know a couple of people that do stuff on Spreaker. I should ask them what the live streaming component is like, because I know that I agree with you, Blog Talk Radio. Trust me, I tried Blog Talk Radio before I switched over to Libsyn, and Blog Talk Radio was the most unstable system that I ever met in my life.
And I am for, as you know, then in a philosophical sense, for the free market. So the market will decide, and the marketplace could compete with each other. So if somebody likes Blog Talk Radio, that's fine. And if somebody likes Libsyn, that's fine. And if somebody likes Spreaker, that's fine. And then end of the day, you will see who will win.
Yeah.
And I think it's a big market. So it's you have space for everyone. And it's interesting how it will develop. Like a side note, have you heard about the service called Blab, the live streaming?
I have, and I was on.
And I learned recently that it's now shut down.
Yeah. I was on Blab at the beginning. Blab, welcome to podcasts. They also welcome disabilities, too, with open arms, surprisingly. And then in the middle of it, they didn't do well. They continue to welcoming disabilities, but they didn't necessarily welcome podcasters.
No, and so that's what happened. So they shifted. And you have to go where the money is and your audience. But that's what I like with Libsyn. I must say, the first time I heard about and found one and saw the site, I saw this site looks a bit interesting. Like an old style. But I wanted to have it simple. That's why I first got help from Australia and then Blog Talk Radio. And then sooner or later, I found out about Libsyn. So, that could be your journey. But they are here for the long run. They have more than 10 years of experience.
Yeah, Lipson is.
They have great customer service, and they really they are part of a podcasting movement. And talking about, I mean, I have my business cards on fairs that I sent to Rob, so they put it on their table, and that's why he discussed with me, debated with me with the name. So I will stick with Ego Netcast, but. Next time I will print you bigger business cards, but you could better see it from a distance. Cards.
Yeah. Yes, better business cards. I forgot about that. You're absolutely right. For those of you that host on Lipson, Lipson actually brings your business cards to their events that they host at. So I completely forgot about that until you mentioned that. And so, again, where can people find you? And of course, we have everything in the show notes, you guys.
Yeah. And you have a question there on the different social media channels and platforms. And
there
could be also a discussion about what's a channel and what's a platform and what's the newest thing, Shiny Gadget. I mean, that's what I like with podcasting also. That you can have a discussion. You could have comments, you could rate and reviews and so on. But again, you can find me on my own podcast there, egonetcast.com. Or if you go to one, like a platform, like Twitter. I like Twitter. It's one of my favorite social media tools. So it's then... Also, it's one question is who I would meet and be educated by.
And that's
Aristotle, the philosopher. He was the founder, you could say, of the Western world. And America and the founding fathers, they learned from his philosophy. And he had a school in Athens called Lyceum. And that's my Twitter handle. So in Greek, I don't know Greek, but it's like Lyceum or something like that. So Lyceum is my Twitter handle.
And Lyceum.
I could tell a funny story about it. I mean, I'm having lots of friends in using social media and are experts on there and using it at work and consultants and so on. And we had an unconference or social media meetups and social media club. And then people said, so you are Martin. And they referred it to me as Lyceum because I was very active on Twitter.
Oh, God. I love it. I absolutely love it. Aristotle has Twitter under you. Yeah. I love it. Aristotle has Twitter under you.
Something that I would learn to do more. I like cats. I like tea. I like chili peppers and others. So I will have more videos. And now you have on Libsyn a thing called what is called now channels or
destinations.
Thank you very much, destinations. So I have added all the destinations that I could find. So now every episode is going automatically to YouTube also. They will only see my nice logotype other things. But I mean, that could be an introduction to somebody who says, what's podcast? And then you say, you know what YouTube is?
Again? Yeah, because a lot of people, I forgot about that. A lot of people know what YouTube is. And I forgot that one of Lipson's destinations now is YouTube.
Yeah. So if you go to YouTube and search for my name there, or Lyceum there too, and adding the number 1776, and then you get the question there. What's 1776 standing for?
Yes.
Yeah.
What?
The foundation of America.
Oh,
1776.
Foundation of America. Yeah. Okay, so we got Aristotle and the foundation of America.
Yeah. Correct.
And all. All into one. Jeez.
Yeah. And now when we are talking so highly of Libsyn and they haven't said to us that we should do it. I mean, we do it freely. You asked about my favorite podcast also.
Yes.
And that's The Feed by Elsie Escobar and Rob Walsh.
I was
the official podcast of Libsyn.
I was going to say that. I was going to say that because we are not paid to buy Libsyn. I wish we were.
Yes, hint, hint.
How hint, hint. Yeah, I love it. I wish we were paid to talk about how Libsyn has changed all of our lives, including mine and including yours. But The Feed is a phenomenal podcast. And you guys, when you type in The Feed, they also have a standalone app. They better. They're the main managers of that company. And their standalone app could be found in the Android store and the iTunes iOS store, and I presume your standalone app could be found in the Android store and Google and the iOS store.
Yeah, and also on I don't think how big it is in Europe, but also on Amazon store on this Fire phone.
That's right. That's
Android.
Right. They did stick it on Amazon because Bob did mention something about you.
And I think that could be a good, pretty good. I don't know how many users of Fire this Fire phone, but I mean it's good for
the Fire phone. Or would it work on the Kindle Fire too?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Probably
because they support apps.
Yeah.
Point.
And Jeff Bezos, I mean, he is an inspiration as a businessman.
Yeah.
Starting with books and now have everything.
Yeah, he's
under the sun.
Done everything under the sun. Well, I appreciate your time and I appreciate everyone's time today, and I hope you guys enjoyed another fabulous social media text episode of Butterflies of Wisdom. Thanks to you guys.
Thank you very much.